Good morning to all our participants. First our news as usual, and then we'll proceed to studying the article, the piece, and then maybe we'll discuss the questions from the forum. Our news, Lithuania. Yesterday there was a congress of all people interested in Kabbalah. In Vilnius there were 40 people that came from all over Lithuania. Mainly these were the people who registered for the studies after the lectures given in Vilnius. There was a movie shown and a lecture. They spoke about the structure of the World Academy Bnei Baruch. And at 6 p.m. there was a conference of all the participants with me. They asked me more than 30 questions. I answered them as well as I could. They asked me to choose the best question, and the one who asked it received my book as a gift. Mikhail Zinevich was the person. He is an organizer of the Vilnius group, and the book that he was presented, he passed it on to the beginners. And I hope that these online conferences will be taken place, and I'm always ready for that. Moldavia. There was the first public lecture on Kabbalah in Kishinev. The guys were very active before the lecture, preparing for it. Today they need the support of the world group, so it is going to happen today, the first ever public lecture on Kabbalah in Kishinev. In the center of Kabbalah in Queens, New York, there will be a Russian a lecture for Russian speakers read by Eli Katanov. It's a series of lectures that they are going to have in the Queens Center. Thanks to the serious advertisement on the American radio, day after day, more and more people get interested in Kabbalah. They call every day. They advertise their center in New York. Rachel Rain and Marina Ilaeva, Brenda Grinapur are very active in answering the calls. After the advertisement on the radio, the number of copies of books sold grew to $1,000. Today we have Australian guests, and there are 8 people watching and listening to us. Best regards to Yossi and all his students. We hope to see you here in Israel with us soon, anytime you want. I would like to thank Luba Yusupov in the Vienna group. She gave an example to all the women in Austria. Boris Yusupov, her husband, has been here for 2 weeks already. So thanks very much, Luba, for your heroic feat. We received news from Brazil. Our Luis sends his best regards. He said that after Sukkot he organized the real group in São Paulo, and there are 12 people in that group, and once a week they have lessons in his office. They learn the structure of the upper worlds, and today they are studying by the book the Attainment of the Worlds Beyond. They have meetings in São Paulo and Rio de Janeiro. The group is only begins to be organized there. And Luis is an organizer. The first public lecture is prepared in Brazil. They form a group in Rio de Janeiro and prepare themselves for get ready for the Pesach. The time will come when we'll spend one of our holidays in Brazil. The Kirovograd group, it is always in our news. The address sounds as follows. Dear friends, we need your help. The Kirovograd group is trying a new form of circulation. We advertise Kabbalah on the site Subscribe.ru. It will be destined for the people who never heard about Kabbalah. Although we understand that all this information can be found on the site of Bnei Baruch, we ask you to subscribe. It will be seen by more than 2,000 subscribers of that site. There should be 1,000 subscribers at least. We'll do that. We'll help the Kirovograd group, and they will help us. Chaverim, let's do it, and we'll give a chance to people to find out what Kabbalah is. We are one vessel. That's their dress. I envy them. Wonderful. Tonight we are going to have our meeting of the world group. Somehow we'll try to make it pleasant and useful. All our group is divided into subgroups. Each of them takes a certain day, this Sunday or next Sunday or the one after that, and the responsible people are preparing the meeting. People write new songs and write texts, quotes of the Baal Sulam, the Rabash, and mine, according to the topic. Today's topic is Ahavat Chaverim, love for thy neighbor. This connection which forms the outer kli, and in this kli, the Creator is revealed. As soon as it reaches the minimal of Yud, that very moment we will feel the Creator. From the lack of love, transition to love, that's the crossing of the Machsom, actually. So let's try and help our Bnei Baruch group to push that idea forward in order to cross the Machsom, to pass from the feeling of non-loving to the feeling of love. That's how the Creator is revealed, and that's what makes a person an embryo in the spiritual world. And now we'll get back to our article, The Peace, the scientific research on the necessity of the spiritual correction. Ba'al-Sulam regards Kabbalah as a science, and whatever is revealed in Kabbalah he treats as the scientific research which should be compiled and offered to mankind. Kabbalah speaks about the most general law of the universe. All the other laws are just the individual parts of that law. All in all, there are seven sciences. That's what Kabbalah asserts. Man's attitude to the reality. When man researches the world, he does it through his senses. Since our senses represent Zat, Zerampin, and Malchut, I'm not speaking about our bodily senses and also the devices that broaden the scope of the of our senses and all the devices that process all that information that we receive. So there are the part that picks the information and the processing part. So this attitude is divided into seven parts, each of which is called the science. Kabbalah refers to the drawing, math, music, so the attainment of nature in us. The fact that we have many dozens of sciences is just an artificial division. It's just convenient for us to do it this way, but actually there are seven sciences. So these are seven fields of knowledge through which man researches nature, our world. And the science which speaks about the upper world, about the root from which these seven sciences stem, they're like seven springs. So this root is called the science of Kabbalah. And regardless of those seven sciences, in an abstract way, it is said about the general law of the universe. So in this article, The Peace, the Ba'al-Sulam wishes to demonstrate his attitude to the universe and how Kabbalah deals with it. The Ba'al-Sulam likens this world to a shop. And he says, everything is given on this on security. The trap is put for the whole life. The shop is open, and the book is open, and the hand is writing, and whoever wants to take may come and take, but the tax collectors return every day, and make man pay his dues, and the judge dispenses. Justice and everything is ready for the feast. It includes all the connections between the Creator and the creations, both in a good and in a bad way. That's why it looks this way. So we left off at a certain point, and we were speaking about the two kinds of people. The first kind treats the reality as if there is no honor. I can take from nature whatever I want, And the second type of people is called a borer. They understand that there is a certain purpose in everything, and everything is given to us for that, for the achievement of that purpose. So before taking something, we have to find out what it is for. If man treats the world in this way, he starts looking for the source, for the force which created him, and he stops himself, controls himself, and makes all his actions efficient and purposeful. He understands that if his actions defy the source, then he will feel bad. He takes only for the achievement of the purpose. So who are they? The borrowers reckon with the owner and are committed to pay his price, that is, to achieve the purpose of creation. It is said about them, anyone who wants to borrow may come and take. Everything is open. Everything is available for such a person. If man starts treating nature in a purposeful way for the achievement of the goal which was set by the Creator, in principle, man is already in that goal. He has to reveal it. If he desires it and lives with that purpose in mind, then all his actions in this world are good, and he receives in return the good and kind treatment of the Creator. He takes the upper force, transforms his egoism into an altruistic intention, uses his egoism for the sake of the Creator, gets closer to the Creator, merges with him, and receives inside his former egoism, now altruism, the feeling, the sensation of the Creator, the sensation of perfection and eternity, and it becomes his life, his existence. That is what we call paying his dues. He lets the Creator to fill him, and there's no more, no bigger delight for the Creator than to fill man, to bestow delight on him. So the difference between these two types of people lies in the purposefulness of their actions. The first type wants to satisfy his desires in any way possible, and the second one wants to merge with the Creator. The second type limits himself, restricts himself, establishes a contact with the Creator, and then makes a zivug with the Creator. But the one who does not understand and is still in a preliminary state, then naturally that person acts absolutely unknowingly. All his actions are under the influence of his egoistic properties, opposite to what it should be. And for each action like this, he is punished. And the more egoistic, the more complicated his actions are, the more severe punishment he gets. So much so that he doesn't even understand the connection between his actions and the punishment. He said something, did something to somebody, and he feels sick. So the general control and the individual control acts together. So man is in the state of concealment of the Creator. He doesn't see any connection between his actions and the feedback influence on the part of nature, and he is getting more and more confused. And here we have a question. What is the difference between the purpose achieved through compulsion by the law of development and the one achieved voluntarily? That is, either man evolves thoughtlessly or purposefully. In fact, it is one and the same purpose that is reached in both cases. The difference lies in collection of debts. However, all have to pay daily for what they taken, as in the saying, but every day the tax collectors force men to consciously or unconsciously pay his dues according to the measure of their debt. And these forces are that play the role of tax collectors until all the debts are repaid, paid back. So, whether man understands it or not, the next portion of power descends upon him. There are two people. One works for the sake of the Creator, and the second one takes from this world without understanding what he does and why he does it. The tax collectors make everyone pay his dues. Yeah, there's a big difference in how the debts are collected. Though debts are collected daily and scrupulously until they are really repaid, there is a difference in the way it is done. So what's the difference? Those who develop unconsciously and those who evolve consciously? The Baha'i Salam writes, so there is a difference. Let's say between these two types of people. One studies in a Kabbalistic group, tries to understand how can he treat the world correctly so that he can efficiently achieve the goal with minimal losses, move forward in an easy and comfortable way. This person is considered wise. He does not invite the blows that will return him to the same path. And the second one, who doesn't understand or know anything, he never heard about Kabbalah. Even if he sees that somebody else is engaged in something spiritual, he still does not want it. All the laws of nature treat everyone equally. If a small child falls from a tall building, he will be injured. The law is one. In physics, you will never read that this or that law influences only a certain person with a certain character. That's what these words mean. The tax collectors come every day to make man pay his dues. These laws are absolute, and they treat everybody equally. So the same tax collectors come to both types of people, to those who understand what's the purpose in life, and to those who treat it just like this, just to take from it for their own pleasure. Thoughtless existence. So what's the difference between them? The unconscious repayment of debt is enforced by the law of development, which sends sufferings and urges man to move forward and correct himself. The debt is collected by terrible and tormenting pressure of the evil forces. Man constantly receives blows. He has to go to work, to grow children, has to be sick. He owes everything to everyone, and there's no getting away from that. Drugs, alcohol. He's looking for something that could somehow mitigate the situation and help him get detached. He owes everyone. So the Baha'i Salam says, the debt is collected by terrible and tormenting pressure of the evil forces. These people who develop unconsciously, poor things, they don't see the connection between their purposeless attitude to the world and the punishment and the sufferings that they receive in their life. At the same time, the conscious repayment of debt stipulates the voluntary correction through the realization of egoism's evil. The double price is obvious here. What is the portion of sufferings or reward that a person who consciously develops receives? He also suffers. We know it from the life of the Kabbalists that they were suffering. Many of them were sick, died in terrible sufferings, and during their lives they were not the angels. There are a few reasons for that. We see the Kabbalists outwardly, externally, not in his inner sensations. So we may believe that we see some deficiencies, drawbacks, weak points, only because we have them. And the second reason is, since we haven't achieved the final correction yet, the Kabbalist takes a portion of sufferings on himself. Each of us will have to suffer and correct the entire world clear. If I was born and found Kabbalah a couple of hundred years after the rest of the people, it doesn't mean that I will work less than everybody else. I have to go through the entire process. That's the general law of the universe. Each individual part is equal to the whole part. It's like a hologram. As we say in Kabbalah, everything consists of the 10 sferot. Each part can be divided into subparts, all of them consisting of 10 sferot. And the soul consists of 10 sferot. And the soul has to overlap the entire universe. Each of us has to be equal to the Creator, equal to the general soul of Adam Rishon. Therefore, it doesn't matter when we start. Sooner or later, we have to work with all the Rishimot, from the lowest to the highest. The difference is that in the first case, the sufferings, terrible sufferings, press man. This is our life in never-ending anguish. And the second type is when we aspire for the goal by ourselves. The double prize is obvious: attraction to the purpose, feeling of love. They draw us like a magnet. We anticipate this better state, look forward to it. This feeling is already happiness and joy. Imagine, instead of being forced to study in our school, we would love to study by ourselves, instead of cursing that institution every day, we would be rushing to learn something new. So these forces attract us to the purpose like a magnet. All sufferings disappear. And achievement of the desired purpose is accelerated. The path gets shorter and it becomes comfortable and pleasant. The righteous people and the prophets deserve this kind of development, and they paved that way for us. So the one who develops in this way, when he decides to treat the universe in this way, as existing for achieving the purpose, all the moments of his life could not be worse than the goal itself. Where does it come from? It comes from the very simple principle. The Creator, had a thought to create the creations to bestow delight upon them. So the primary concept was to bestow delight on the creation. The primary desire to bestow delight
того, что желает насладить, необходимо создать
This desire has to create something that would enjoy this delight and create certain conditions for this receiver of delight. So if we understand that the main thing is the goal to bestow delight, then immediately we begin to feel that state. So there is a great difference. Between those who advance consciously and those who live unconsciously, the way the light of pleasure differs from the darkness of suffering. They have something to hope for, and the trial is a true one. That is, man who is consciously advancing of his own free will has a hope as his efforts generate the force capable of leading him to the exalted purpose. Therefore, one should charge himself with the burden of correction. Rabbi Akiva says there is a great power which leads to the exalted goal. Be persistent. Overcome all problems, and this force will lead you to the goal. And the trial is a true one, refers to those who pay unconsciously. So at first sight it seems strange that the Creator's rule allows injustice and suffering to exist in this world. All the liars, all the thieves, all those who use their egoism for their own benefit, paying no attention to everybody else, they conquer this world and as a result rule over us. So at first sight it seems strange that the Creator's rule allows injustice and suffering to exist in the world. But everything the Creator created is perfect. We are fried on the sufferings. His language is very colorful. But the trial is a true one, and all is corrected and ready for the feast. So actually everything is corrected, everything is ready for the feast. Shulchan Aruch, the table is laid. There is a special book which speaks about the corrections that we have to make on our egoism in order to sit at that table and be ready to eat the meal prepared by the Creator. So everything is ready for that feast. The ultimate pleasure will be revealed in the future when the created beings achieve complete correction so as to feel eternal and perfect bliss prepared for them in advance. Their Creator resembles a host who makes tremendous efforts to prepare a magnificent meal for the invited guests, while the expected purpose, which should finally be achieved, is like a meal immensely enjoyed by the guests. As is said, the trial is a true one, and all is corrected and ready for the feast. Everything derives from our final state in which we exist. We don't have to change anything or invent anything. We just need to want this state and aspire for it. Nothing else. We don't transform, don't modify anything in the universe. Only our own sensations. Our today's present false condition, illusion. We have to change this illusion turn it into a reality. To liken it to the properties of the Creator and in our senses we are permeated with egoism which conceals the Creator. That is why we don't feel anything. There is a notion, an absolutely black body. Even the light penetrates it, it cannot get out of that. It's a sphere which is absolutely black with a little aperture for the entry of the light. So once the light gets in, it cannot get out. That's how our egoism is like. And all the world seems black to us. So if we could, through that same aperture, exit of that black sphere, we would discover absolutely different laws of the universe, which is called the purpose of creation. We can find this information in the first part of the Torah, Bereshit, Genesis, where it is said about the creation of man. The angels ask the Creator, why do you need this man? Ostensibly the forces with the help of which the Creator creates man, they are so opposite to the Creator himself. The angels ask the Creator, why does he need to do that? So man is created as absolutely opposite to his Creator. Why do you need this misfortune? And the Creator answers with a parable about the king who had many riches, but he didn't have any guests or visitors, and he had no pleasure because he wanted to bestow delight. And the angels asked the Creator, why do you need this trouble? Why do you create man who is going to suffer all days of his life? And the Creator answered, although he has everything in his palace prepared exactly, precisely according to the desires of man, he has no other guests except for this mankind. And when the angels weighed all the pleasures and the delights that fill the palace and compared it to the sufferings and problems that mankind goes through, they agreed to the creation of man in accordance with the Rabbi Akiva's words. The trial is true and everything is ready for the feast. So the angels made the conclusion by seeing that man can take his destiny in his own hands and achieve the purpose of the creation. All the created beings are invited to that feast, and the thought of creation compels them to come to that feast unconsciously or consciously. And the words of the prophets will be revealed. A wolf will be sitting beside a lamb, and a tiger will be lying beside a kid, and the earth will be filled with the Creator's wisdom as the sea is filled with water. Knowledge about the Creator. All the forces that are perceived by us as evil turned into good forces, and all these tigers, lions, and wolves agree to coexist with lambs, kids, and little boys. As we said above, man's, nothing will help to man. That which has to be, will be. We are all sick. The entire mankind is sick. And it was, trying to go to one direction and to another, but the pain continues and our outcry rises to the heavens, and there's no other way out but to charge ourselves with the burden of the Creator, to find out about His nature, about His laws, about the purpose of our existence, to direct all our actions to bestow upon the Creator. We have to juxtapose ourselves with the Creator, include ourselves in the process which He conceived. This is the best thing that we can possibly do. It's the wisest decision with the help of which we shorten our path. And when we do that, everyone will reveal, we won't even remember hate and envy. So until the people do not adapt the law of bestowal upon the Creator, for the sake of the Creator, hate and envy will prevail. And the entire mankind then will unite in one Kli, filled with the knowledge of the Creator, and the world and the Creator will be one. All of us and each individual will become like the Creator. And the Prophet says, as on the second day, when the Creator stretched His hand, His arm, that is, all those who were banished from that magnificent state in the upper world to the lowest point, everything will be reversed and will return to our initial state. The Creator will gather all of us, will embrace us and fill us with delight. And all this method of ascending to the Creator and merging with Him should be introduced to the world through the people of Israel, through the Kabbalists, who from one generation to another were carrying this wisdom to the world. And now we can understand the sages' words. God did not find a vessel to hold a blessing for Israel, meaning as long as self-love and egoism exist among the nations, Israel too will not be able to worship the Lord in purity. These words complete the Babylonian Talmud. It's an assembly of laws and regulations, rules of behavior in the spiritual world. So, after in the end of the Talmud, there are words. What the Creator will bless the people with peace and will give them force. The sages don't without being connected to a certain level in the spiritual world. Accordingly, they write, they cannot write otherwise. As we, in a certain state, we do certain things, so if I take a book, I need to know who the author of this book was and what spiritual level he was on when he was writing. Whatever he may be writing at the time will draw the spiritual light to me. Everything is dictated by his inner entertainment of the Creator. It's the Creator speaks through him from his level to me. So if the sages of the Talmud sealed this huge composition, if they completed it with these words, the Creator will give powers to his people and will bless it with peace. So it has to be the meaning of the entire correction, since the Talmud speaks only about the correction of the Kli and its merging with the Creator. All our books, all Kabbalistic books, speak about this. It seems strange at first sight. There was a great prophet, Isaiah, Ишаяу, the peace in all the world, and the words that God will bless his people. He will bless the people of Israel before blessing all the other peoples. The blessing of the peace of the whole world preceded the strength, meaning the redemption, because God did not find a vessel to hold the blessing for Israel, but peace. Listen to it. The blessing of the peace of the whole world preceded the strength. So why does Israel exist? In order to be a redeemer of the entire world, to the extent of the necessity of the world for the ascent and corrections, to that extent Israel receives blessings. And to the extent of the world's desire to receive these corrections, we will receive this knowledge. As long as self-love and egoism exist among the nations of the world, Israel too will not be able to worship the Lord in purity as bestowal. And you shall, be and it is said, God did not find a vessel to hold the blessing, meaning thus far Israel did not have a vessel to hold the blessing of the fathers. Therefore the oath that we can inherit the land for all eternity has not yet been fulfilled, because world peace is the sole vessel that enables us to receive the blessing of the fathers, as it says in the prophecy of Isaiah. So if today all Israel, and Israel means those who aspire for the Creator, if we want the entire world to achieve peace, then our work will bear fruit. We are about to finish this article. Israel did not have a vessel to hold the blessing of the fathers. Therefore, the oath that we can inherit the land for all eternity has not yet been fulfilled, because world peace is the sole vessel that enables us to receive the blessing of the fathers. If we think about correcting the whole world and elevating the whole world to the Creator, and we will be conductors of His wisdom, then and only then will we receive His blessing, and not before that. This is what the Creator says to the people of Israel, and this is what the Creator tells us, the spiritual Israel, all those who aspire to Him. We can interpret it on different levels until we start thinking about the rest of the world. The people of Israel will not be able to live in this country, and terrible sufferings will befall them. But if Israel will think about its mission to that extent, you will receive an opportunity to ascend, like Golgotha Einaim exists with regard to Ahab. All those who aspire to the Creator are called Israel, and not those who were born from the Jewish mother. Israel constitutes all those who aspire to Him. So if we care about creating one world kli, so that everyone who desires may join us, if we think about helping the entire world to rise, if we'll fulfill our mission, to that extent we will achieve our own merging with the Creator. There is nothing else. That's what the Baha'i Sulam meant to tell us in this article, which is called The Peace. This last part is very serious. You have it in your text. If you have questions, I may devote another lesson to that. This article is very important. Briefly, it says, the purpose of creation should be in front of you. Whatever you take from this world should be directed at the achievement of that purpose. And your purpose, your goal, should be the happiness and peace in the entire world. Try to elevate the entire world to the Creator. In that extent, to the extent you do it, Golgotha Einaim elevates Ahab. Only then will you receive the light, and the correction is achieved only in this way. On that, we completed the study of this article. What are we going to study next Sunday? I don't even know. I would like to hear your suggestions. All the Baha'i Sulam's articles, all his introductions, you know, everything is on our site. Look through the materials. Let's make a lottery. We we will take the most popular material that the majority of you is going to choose. Please send it to the mailbox of WorldCLE. I do not use my own, so send it to the WorldCLE. There are several questions, and I would like to devote the rest of the time to answering them. These questions are from the forum, so let's begin. What are the questions that we can verify our way, our path? Man can test his way, his advancement only through the group. Otherwise, man just deludes himself. To the extent of your giving to the group, you may understand how you advance. What's the age of a person who can study Kabbalah? They say that only a 40-year-old person can begin to study it. Man, it seems to me that that I reached the age of 40 when I'm 20. No, it's not true, and has never been so. The Kabbalists speak and use the language of branches, and man remains the same idiot at the age of 40 as he was in 20. And if he in at the age of 20 he feels his aspiration to the Creator, so why should he wait for the age of 40? We know many Kabbalists who even didn't live up to that age. Ari passed away at the age of 38. Rabbi Nachman from Breslov, he has a collection of Kabbalistic fairy tales. He died at the age of 36, and many others. The genius Gaon Mivilna, the great Kabbalist, received his first attainments at the age of 10. The Baal Sulam, at the age of 26 or 27, as my rabbi said, he understood that his father already was engaged in the secrets of the Torah. He recalled that the Baal Sulam, when he was under 30, he was a judge in Warsaw in Poland at the time. So he returned home, he had a quarter of an hour, he fell on the sofa and then tried to speak out what he thought about, and these were the first lessons in Kabbalah that the Rabash received. He was 10, so my teacher remembers that period. And he even remembered the text that the Baal Sulam recited. Yeah, one day I'll write about it. The Rabbi Cook writes that anybody who feels the need can begin to study Kabbalah. I think that the body depends on the light. If the light shines upon it, it doesn't need anything else. How can we not submit to the power of the light? It's an ideal question. It's a very good question. I understand that I depend completely on this or state or on the other, but I cannot get out of that state. and the willpower or a weakness is absolutely irrelevant. You can be have a very strong will, but the moment you enter the spiritual world and start working there, all your willpower disappears, because all your heroism, all your willpower was based on egoism, on suppressing others. But once you understand that you have to control yourself, not others, you have no strength to do that. Where are you going to take this strength from? Your own ego will not permit you to do that. And everyone here at this stage turns into a... This state is called the realization of evil. We are nothing, slaves of our egoism. A little pleasure, a little suffering, and we'll submit to any of these states. And when the deliverance comes, when the upper light descends upon us and creates a screen in us, then we become free, only to the extent of acquiring the screen. The Masach and Or Chozer. Is it a conscious, obvious state, or is it revealed gradually in the sensations? I don't understand the difference between the Masach and Or Chozer. The sensation of the outer world, as if we are inside the black, dark sphere, and start to get out of that sphere with our sensations, with our desires. We exit it from it and exist outside. Then all the space that surrounds this little black sphere becomes ours, and to the extent of the power of our screen, we exist in this limitless space. And naturally, it gives attainment and revelation. Everything happens inside our sensations. Either they are directed inwardly or outwardly. Either I want to feel what my egoism wants, or I choose to feel what all the others feel. The question from the Moscow group concerning the virtual lessons and our own inner lessons. I think that it concerns the Moscow group in particular and all the others in general. There should be a rule. We watch the virtual classes 3 times a week and our world meeting on Sunday evening. It is compulsory information. Whoever does that is advancing, and I guarantee his spiritual development. All the rest, whatever you do, I'm not responsible for that. So what's the meaning, what's the importance, the significance of the virtual lessons? No, our night classes from 3 to 5:30. I would say that perhaps you should watch them and listen to them once in a while, but I cannot imagine a person who would see our morning classes and then these virtual classes from 3 to 5:30 every day. then 3 times a week virtual classes from 6 to 7:30, then our virtual world meeting in the evening, and then maybe the Zohar classes. Man cannot function this way. So I advise you very strongly, watch only these virtual classes in Russian. If you want something else, I advise you to watch our lecture, special lectures on Friday mornings, Israel time. On those days, the beginners come to listen to. I give them different information. In the morning, from 3 to 6 in the morning, I give a different information. There is a wrong tendency here. People stop working, don't communicate with the outer world. They think that they may live from one lesson to another, and they are like angels, and they are in the upper world. They will not reach the upper world if they don't function normally in their life. And I know that in the Moscow group there are people who are pressing others to attend all the classes. You don't have to do that. Follow my advice. If you don't follow my advice, I take no responsibility. If you do not work 6 to 8 hours every day, it doesn't matter that you have a rich uncle or you are well-to-do. Everyone has to work, have a family, sleep at home. Man has to be married. Not de facto, not a fictitious marriage. A man has to have a family. Without this, he cannot advance. It is very strict with regard to men. So I advise to the Central Moscow group to relax a little bit and do not try to be cleverer than you are. We have to take everything in this world in order to advance to the purpose. And these people I mentioned here don't take anything from this world. A piece of bread, a glass of water, and a lot of Kabbalah. And what is he going to come to the Creator with? Where are all these interferences, circumstances, properties that he will not have anything? Our world is designed exactly the way we need it, and we have to use it in all its entirety and not delude ourselves. The Creator designed it especially, so the Moscow group has to think about it. I just don't want to call names here. I know these people who try to look too righteous, more righteous than they are. Another question. I have more and more questions in the process of my studies, and sometimes I'm bewildered by how Kabbalah contradicts everything I do in life. Be simple, relax, study as much as you like. Talk to the students of my rabbi. They still live in this world. They will tell you about the schedule that we had. If a person was not working, he was considered sick, abnormal. It was clear to everyone. If you don't have a job, go and sweep the streets. no one speaks about you earning a lot of money. You have to work. If you have an uncle who is wealthy and gives you $10,000 every day, okay, let it be. You can donate this money to the group. But go. You have to work. You have to be involved in some kind of activity, at least for 6 hours a day. Is the world group going to cross the Mahsom as a whole, or it will be it will happen individually? I don't know what is the whole world group, because people who behave this way, it's a big question if they take part in our world group, whether they are in the state which is called the group. It's very serious. You know, the correspondence to the spiritual laws should be absolute and not just ignoring them and neglect. All these requirements should be constantly before us, and we should verify our correspondence to these laws. If we do, we can get out of that black sphere. If not, then we'll fail. So it's a question what the world group is. Let's assume it exists. Can an individual in that group cross the Mahsom and enter the spiritual world? A separate group, yes, depending on how it is involved in the general work and how it helps the rest of the groups and the rest of the world. The other groups are still unable to be. We have to be in the middle line, between the left line and the right one. I get my pupils here to task because they sleep too little. Men cannot work spiritually if he doesn't sleep enough, at least 6 hours. A person cannot work spiritually without it. Construct your day in a correct way. Think about these conditions. But even a separate small group inside the world group, with the help of his friends, they can get through, but not an individual. The whole such group should ascend. What does it mean, the task to cross the Mahsom on Pesach? What is it? An exercise? We still have time until Pesach. If we go through all these articles, the giving of Torah, the bond, the peace, the introduction to the Zohar, if we learn all those articles and apply all the knowledge that we derive from those articles, and we'll create our own charter, our code of laws, then gradually we'll be able to get together on Pesach, and we'll create a critical mass of our effort, and will attract so much light which will pull us out of this world if we get together. But every individual has to be ready for that. otherwise we'd fail. On Sukkot, we didn't know what we are dealing with. Now we gradually begin to understand, and we have to prepare ourselves. The group that will come unprepared, the members of which do not work, do not pay the maaser, do not use it for the circulation of Kabbalah. You know that we do not take your maaser from you. You have to collect it and use it for the circulation of Kabbalah. You have to send your monthly reports to us. You have to take part in all our virtual lessons. Have a family, work. Do everything that the law demands from you. Well, you see how you reveal. Be like good children. Don't try to find your own ways. You only bump into unnecessary sufferings. These are just klipot. The Or Makif. Can it be felt only in the group? I read your books on the vacation. My sensations were not not different from what I experienced during the study in the group. You're right. You can feel some influence from above. Yes, it's possible, but where is it better and where is it worse? Probably my books contain some spiritual charge, but and I understand that you may have such sensations, but it's not enough. The book is not sufficient. It's good to receive this spiritual charge from the book, but how can you verify that you are corrected, closer to the Creator? How can you do it without a group? Well, there are many questions here. Someday we'll talk about these things. And now about our statistics, and we'll say goodbye to all those who took part in today's lesson. Mitzpe Ramon, Israel. Estonia, Salamau, New Jersey, Ashkelon, the Odessa Group, Atlanta, San Francisco, the Shaulai Group, Almaty, Lynn, the Moscow Group, Nizhny Novgorod, Eliezer from New York, Kiryat Yam, Krasnodar, Mindaugas, Lithuania, the first time, Kaliningrad, the Moscow Group, Safed, Toronto, Yusinto Kiev, Vladikavkaz, Pardeshana, Toronto, Kirovograd, Urengoy, Siberia, the Moscow, and here on our screen, there are more people in Moscow today because of Saturday, maybe, and Sunday. There are more men. It's good. Thank you. I thank the Muscovites. Yeah. Made my day. The New York group, 16 people. Estonia, 8 people. Alec Ina in Minnesota. 17 people in Atlanta. Vilna, 14 people. Sydney, 8 people. The left picture in the second row. Queens, 3 people. Tony and Susan, Kyiv 16 people, Vienna 12 people, their representative is still here, Urengoy 5 people, Toronto 15, Baru from Boston, Odessa 20 people. Good for you. 36 people in Kirovograd. They had 26. Best regards to the Kirovograd. Except for the Moscow group, it's the biggest one. And let's remember their address to us. So let's write, let's subscribe. What exactly should we do? I don't quite understand. We have to visit their site and get a subscription. If we do that, they would receive an opportunity to, they'll receive some benefits, free benefits from the site. 54 people in St. Petersburg. Christian in London and Cleveland for the first time. 5 people. There is a group from San Francisco. Oh, that's why the group is so big today. 17 people with Lenny. I'm asking you to subscribe, help out the Kirovograd group, and until next Sunday, write to me what would you like to discuss as the next topic on Sundays. And now I'm saying goodbye until 7 tonight with good drinks and food. We are waiting for you. Goodbye.